The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to Ellie Hennis, who just won NCAAs in the 5K this past weekend. She had a great race, and this was actually 30 years after her mom won the NCAA 5K. So it was really special to her, and she runs for NC State, or I guess ran for NC State because she just graduated, and she's about to run the Olympic trials tomorrow when you guys are listening to this, so make sure to root for her. But this episode was so great. We went in a bunch of different tangents, and she was really easy to talk to, so I hope you guys enjoy it. But before you guys listen, it would mean so much to me if you rate and review on Apple Podcasts. I know I say it in every episode, but it really helps establish credibility to the podcast, and that way I can get more high profile guests on for you guys to listen to, ask questions to, and I get to chat to. So if you haven't already done that, it would mean so much to me. It literally takes 15 seconds. If you've already done it, it means the world, and I just appreciate you all for listening, telling your friends, family, fellas, whoever about the podcast. I really appreciate it. Today's episode is brought to you by none other than Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA-certified organic meal kit company. They make eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, or vegetarian, or just looking to eat healthier like me, there's a range of recipes to suit any kind of diet or preference. Ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped, so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. They offer 9 meal options every week for each plan, and you can also switch up your plan whenever you're ready to try a new way of eating. Everything is hand-picked, featuring organic veggies and high-quality proteins delivered to your door. Green Chef is also the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions in plastic packaging in every box, so you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. Also, you can feel great about what you're eating because it tastes amazing, and Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with their wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. I like to switch between the brands, just depending on how my taste buds change. Every single Green Chef recipe I've ever made has absolutely hit the spot. Like, there's never been one that I didn't like. I love how the meals take literally like 30 minutes to make because they're already pre-measured and portioned out. It's so easy, and I highly recommend anyone that's looking to save time or just like eat a more delicious dinner than they're used to. So if you guys are interested, go to greenchef.com/90coldbrew and use code 90coldbrew to get $90 off, including free shipping. That's greenchef.com/90coldbrew and use code 90coldbrew to get $90 off, including free shipping. Now let's get straight into today's episode. Okay, Ellie, thank you so much for coming on. I'm excited to have you on. We got a lot of questions for you. So I made sure to have a lot of time at the end because I think especially a lot of your teammates ask questions. So I'm excited to go through them. But to get started, do you want to just give us a little rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Oh gosh, that's a loaded question. well, my name is Ellie Hennis. I've run for NC State University. I guess I just graduated, you know.
Woo! But graduate.
I got that taken care of. I was coached by my mom. People usually like to know that.
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions about that as well. And I'm very curious about that too. Also, I'm wearing space buns in honor of you. No one can see it.
Love them with the braid too. Do I see
no
the braid?
I can't braid myself, and I was like, I'm gonna look ridiculous if I try to braid it, but no one can even see this is all audio, so Well, you also, you're failing to mention that you just won NCAAs in the 5K. Okay. I mean, not that anyone would really mention that outright, but I'm going to mention it. She just won the 5K at NCAAs. How are you feeling right now?
Feeling pretty good. It's fine. I think it finally sunk in probably like yesterday, maybe. Yeah. It's still working its way into sinking in.
Yeah. I'm excited. We have a lot to talk about. Also, okay. I realized that, so this was 30 years after your mom won the 5K. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to unpack here. Oh, so yeah. Your mom won the 5K 30 years ago. Do you know what her time was? I'm sure you do.
The reason that I know is because for the past few years, I'd been so annoying. I kept, okay, I don't know the exact time, but I think it was like 16:00 something. Cause my favorite saying was, oh, if I could just go and win nationals in 16:00, we'd be fine right now. And then she's always like, yeah, but it was a sit and kick. And I'm like, yeah.
No, okay. But- well, so you accomplished what she had accomplished, but more because you ran a lot faster. So
I'll call it that, you know,
yeah.
Technology and the training and the nutrition, all that stuff was very different back then. So I'll give it to her, but
yeah, true. I was going to ask, like, who do you think would win in a head to head, her at her age or you at her age?
I've got a better kick. I'd sit. Oh, on
yeah. If she likes to sit and kick race. Hey, you did have a very good kick. I will say that was like a very intense race. I just watched it on 2x speed and it was kind of funny to watch everyone on 2x speed. But, a lot of people ask like, what were your thoughts, I guess, going into the race?
Oh gosh. So honestly, I feel like going into it, if we started the morning of, I guess, okay. Like, I think in the morning, not like, I think sometimes, you know, it gets that point of like, okay, this is my last one. And I could either put a lot of pressure on this and be like, oh, I have to perform, or I can be like, oh, this is my last one. And so I'm just going to go and put it all, leave it all out there and see what happens, you know? And so I think my brain was battling, was back and forth between that all day. And it really was battling like that up until I got onto the stadium. And I think the second that I went into the stadium, everything, like, cause they take you back behind the chute thing, right? Like, so you go on the track that's under there, and it was giving me Hunger Games vibes. And the reason for that was because there was this table of like older men. I feel bad for saying that, but anyways, these older men were sitting there and they're watching us all walk in. And I was getting these flashbacks. I was like, okay, like, you know, we're walking out to the arena. They're going to test our skills. All right, cool. And that was, that's what I was thinking walking up into the stadium. And then, you know, you come out to the stadium, it's amazing, it's huge, there's all these people cheering. It was like, okay, this is a little intense. But when we got on the line and like looked out at, because of when you get on the line and look out at the 200, there's nothing back there, you know, it's just like sky and then like campus. And so in that moment I remembered, I was like, oh, it's a 400 meter track, like, we're good, this is my last race, no pressure, it's all good. So exact thought for thought through that day, that's all I was thinking.
Yeah. Wow, that was a good little like rendition. Was it kind of like packed, like was the stadium filled with fans, or was it like, could you hear people when you were racing?
Yes, no, I mean, I could hear people. So my mom was sitting with Marisa.
Marisa was my coach back at Oregon.
Yeah, so I could hear her.
Yeah.
Hear my mom though, and they were standing right next to each other.
Good. Marisa's voice does definitely stick out.
Yeah. And so I knew every single thing she was saying. I couldn't hear my mom at all during the race. I was trying to hear her at one point, because when Whitney went and there was that gap there, I was trying to hear her tell me what to do about it. And I couldn't hear her. I was like, okay, well.
Oh, you hear Marisa being like, let's go.
She's like, let's go, Haley Herberg. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Good. What were you thinking when Whitney like went out ahead of everyone? That must be like intimidating. I don't think I've ever been in a race like that where someone that is like really good goes mm-hmm. out in front and you're just like,
well, cause that was my thought. I was like, well, she's run 15:12.
Yeah.
Like I can't let her get too far away, you know? I do think it was comforting to me after like two or three laps to notice that there wasn't that much of a distance change between us. So once I realized like she had made that gap, but we were going the same pace pretty much. I was like, okay, you know, just try to work on reeling her back in, kind of thing.
So. I want to know what her race plan was, because that was like a bold move, you know?
I mean, I think, I mean, I can't speak for her, obviously, but I do think a part of that comes from the 1500, you know?
Yeah. Just going like, out hard.
Not for the kick.
Oh, right. You're right. Yeah. Wanting to make it fast, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, it was definitely an honest race.
Yeah, know? It definitely was. I was honestly surprised by how many people were still there at the end.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, the NCAA, especially, I mean, on both the men's and women's side, but it's getting, every year it just gets so deep, and I'm always so surprised and impressed by what happens. I mean, there were four girls under 1520 this year, and I know that, like, in the past there's been, you know, I was growing up watching people break 1520 and all that stuff, but I just remember, you know, being like, that's insane. That's like, there's how? And then for four girls to do that, and it just be like, you know, just looking at the 5K at NCAAs and in general, like, it's so deep right now.
I know. I'm wondering if it's because everyone's like getting really excited for the trials, but all I know is that I am really glad I'm not in college anymore, because I would get absolutely destroyed in any of these races.
It's the challenge.
Yeah, I know. Okay, but you're one of the people that's setting up the fast races, so you're to blame, okay? I mean, it's a good thing. We want to progress, you know, we want to keep getting faster. It's like looking at high schoolers now running like 940 for the 3200. I'm like, what? 1030 was good in my era.
Yeah, literally. I think that's 1032. I was proud of that. I'm still proud of that.
Me too. I was like 1023. I was like, that's pretty good. Yeah. And now, like, scum. Actually, no, it's not scum to anyone listening. It's still good. Okay, I still think it's good. Okay. Anyway, so you won the race, you crossed the finish line. What were your thoughts? You were very calm, cool, collected when you crossed the finish line. Like, I feel like I would be like kissing the floor or something, but you walk off, you just throw up the little like wolf pack sign. What were your thoughts?
Well, that's like, that's just a, I don't know what to call it, an instinct, like a reaction. Like, if there's any kid at me when I'm in the NC State uniform, I'm going to throw up the wolf. It's like a peace sign. Every other time a camera's pointing at me, I throw up the peace. But if I'm in NC State, it's the wolf. So that was just kind of like, oh shoot, I just won. I got to throw up something. It's the wolf signs. Here we go. But I guess, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would say like, maybe I looked like it. I don't know, but I was not shocked, but I was just so like overwhelmed with joy. And I was like, I was looking for my mom. I was looking for my people. And I think that was part of the like intense focus of like trying where they were. Cause I mean, it is a huge stadium and they were there, but I had to go and run and find them. So I was definitely focused on finding them and seeing them, because clearly they've been there through it all and they know what that moment meant to me. So yeah, I was looking for them.
Yeah. You could kind of tell that you were also on a mission to find them. That's like what I would do too. I mean, obviously that's your first instinct. One, throw up, well, not for me, throwing up the wolf pack, but maybe the O. But I never threw up an O because it always looked like an Illuminati, because I'm not very good at it. So that wasn't my first instinct, but I also never won NCAAs. So
you never know.
Why am I even talking about this?
I mean,
I'm not qualified. Okay. So when in the race did you realize that you were going to win?
The last 100 meters.
Yeah, you just kind of knew.
I mean, well, no, I didn't. That's what I think. My teammates told me afterwards, they were like, you need to stop looking at the screen so many times, because I know that I was checking, because I mean, I know I kicked with Katie Wasserman in the 1500 at ACC's. I know that she's got a killer kick, you know? So even when I made the move, there was that little moment in my head where I was like, did I just move too fast? I gotta gun it. And when you're starting to feel that lactic stuff in your legs and stuff down the last 100, I was you know, all I was thinking was just like, shit, like, get to the finish line, like, finish this thing. Yeah. Be embarrassed, have someone come around you. Now you made the move.
You made a move at another time also. Okay, I also noticed when I was watching it at 2x speed, you were running in lane 2 the whole time. Did anyone give you like flack for that? Like, was anyone like, why did you do that?
100%. I've gotten a few calls that were like, oh, congrats on winning the 5100, 5200. Like,
of course. The standard response to that, the standard, like, I don't know, sarcastic response. You ran 5100 meters.
Thanks.
Hey, that just shows that you're talented, though.
I think it just shows I'm stubborn. That's what it shows.
Yeah.
I just like being on the shoulder of someone. Like, even in workouts, all my teammates will tell you, like, we just have that agreement. Like, okay, I'm just going to be up on your shoulder and, you know, feel free to do me too, because as I'm comfortable with that kind of zigzag formation kind of thing.
Yeah, it's better than being boxed in. Like, that's my kind of my worst fear is like going behind and then just having no out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, honestly, that's what happened in indoor this past year in both the 5K and the 3K. And the 3K, when it happened, I got a little bit too antsy and kind of, you know, tried to cut out and took a fall. So a lot of that too was like, okay, well, I'm not getting boxed in ever again. That's not happening.
Yeah. You're like, I will run lane two.
Yeah. Lane two is better than falling.
Yeah. Hey, it's true. Also, another thing, interesting thing I noticed was that you started with the same arm and same leg on the starting line. Yeah, I was like, is that a fun little technique that winners have?
Did not notice that, but maybe I should start doing that. I think the space buns, and that might be my lucky charm, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. We're this is all adding up here.
It's like, that's now, you know, perfect formula, the blueprint.
Yeah. What did your mom say when you won? Like, you came up to her and you're like, oh my gosh, I won. What did she do?
I mean, we hugged. I told her she probably knew, you know, that 30 years before she had won that, but I told her that as if she didn't know. I was like, oh my gosh, guess what? We both won this. And she was like, I know.
She's probably going to bed every night thinking about that.
True. So I like reminded her of that. And then we were just hugging and she was saying how proud of me she was. I mean, I think it was just, we saved the like mother-daughter stuff, I feel like, for after. You know, because at that moment, it was kind of like still coach mode, you know, because she also had another athlete like Savannah Shaw was also running in that event and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like right in that moment, because I didn't even get to see her till after the awards stuff. So like it had already been like 15 minutes. So it was kind of the like, oh, awesome. Congrats. Let's go celebrate.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get into talking about your and your mom's relationship a little more, because I got so many questions on our Instagram about that. And I'm so curious. So your mom is your coach and she's been your coach. Was she your coach before college as well?
Mm-mm. No, she was very hands-off in high school.
But now she's your coach. That's even like wilder to me. So she wasn't your coach growing up, but then you decided that you were going to go to NC State and you're like, yep, my mom's going to coach me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, also, so I didn't think I was going to go to NC State until I took the visit. And it was like probably before I signed that I really made up my mind. Because I was very, very much rebellious teenager, like, mom, I'm going to get as far away from you as I possibly can. I'm going to go to the other side of the country. I'm going to do all these things. And that I ended up lying about all of that. But what was I going to say?
Well, what on the visit, like, made you want to go there? Like, changed your, I guess, entire perspective?
I think it's because I took, like, because obviously I've always trusted her as, like, a coach and all that stuff. But I think it was the fact that I was able to actually finally be just, like, with the team and just see what that dynamic looked like. Because I mean, I'd seen them. They'd come over for, like, pizza parties at the house, like, stuff like that. That's the only way I'd known the team. So being there, like, just going through day by day and, like, just, I don't know, yeah, just talking to them, hanging out with them, having fun with them, it just felt like we clicked and it was, like, the right place to be.
I'm like, I told you so?
Kind of. Well, I know, I could tell how happy she was because, like, in high school, she was so hands-off because she was just focused on me actually, like, coming into running in my own right and, like, kind of, like, the thing I always go back to is I was never really trained as much in high school. Like I had a very good coach at Green Hope. Like he knew what he was doing and he was, he's a great guy, but she kind of just let me think that I was doing a lot of work when I wasn't, because I came to her at one point crying. I was like, how come these girls are winning national titles and I'm putting in all this work and I'm not up there? And she was like, well, because you run 30 miles a week, eat at Burger King every day. You don't even take your iron and you're iron deficient. Like, what do you think you're doing? And I was like, I thought I was doing everything. Like, I thought I was doing the most.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I think that's a good approach though. Like, because you just see so many people getting burnt out or their parents are just too overbearing to the point where it's like, the kids don't even want to do it anymore. Yeah. So that's like an extremely healthy approach. I think that takes a lot of self-control probably from your mom to be able to do that.
I mean, we've talked about that too. And she told me how hard it was in some moments to be like, you know, just to tell me to like pull my head out of my ass. But she's like, well, I can't because I'm not that she couldn't. She still did. She'd tell me that all the time. But in a different way of like doing it running based versus life based. Cause if, you know, she sees me like hanging out with the wrong people doing the wrong thing, she's like, okay, yeah, no, you're not going to do that. But then in running, she's like, you know what? It's not going to hurt you to like, I wasn't dependent on fast food, but that was pretty much all I ate.
In high school, I wasn't like, dependent
all the time. And, you know, she was like, I'm not going to steer you away from eating what you want, like running the miles that you want, doing things you want, because high school, like in her eyes and in my eyes, was just about just having fun and like doing everything that we could in the sport. And my team still made it to NXN and I still went to these like really cool things. And it was like, I mean, yeah, a great experience. And she definitely did it, I think, the best way possible for me.
So what do you think about the high schoolers that are like doing the most these days? You know, they're training like professional athletes. Like, what are your thoughts?
You know, I mean, I think that everything, when I say like everything is going to work differently for each individual, I mean, like, as I think that when people are happy and enjoying the sport and like have finding a good balance between working hard and being dedicated and having fun and enjoying high school and high school running for what it is, you know, I think that as long as you can find that balance, whatever that means for the specific athlete, like, then you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you explained it really well.
I think that like, I've read Let Your Mind Run a million times, Dina Castor.
Yeah.
And my favorite, and I've underlined, quoted, did all my annotation for, was when she said, like, you can only train as hard as you recover. And I think some people aren't honest enough with themselves about how hard they recover, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think when you have that balance, you have the balance of fun and determination and training hard and recovery, you're golden. But you got to be honest with yourself about all that stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I was kind of like you in high school. I mean, I wasn't dependent on fast food, but like I thought I was training so hard, but then now looking back, I'm like, I don't think I really was, you know, but I feel like a lot, like it's the key of having that balance of like being a normal kid. And then also like running at that level, you know, and then I feel like a lot of it has to do with mental like headspace. Like you can't be, if you're like really stressing out over things in high school, then I feel like things are maybe, you're maybe taking it too far, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like high school should really be about enjoying it rather than putting too much overbearing pressure on yourself. But
yeah,
I know it's like hard in the moment to balance that, but.
Yeah. But I was just saying like how much of the sport is mental. Like you have to make sure that, like, I think you burn out mentally like later than you burn out physically. But I also think like, just because you can handle all that stuff mentally and handle all that stress in the moment doesn't mean that you should.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why breaks are really important too. And just recovery in general, like you said,
yeah,
just very important. But that was kind of a sidetrack.
Sorry. So, yeah. Little rant.
In college, how was it having your mom as a coach, and how was it for everyone else having you on the team and having your mom be your coach?
It's definitely, I think for people on the team, I definitely feel like there were things held back from being said to me sometimes because they were like, oh, that's going to get back to coach. And the thing is, if I ever told, the one thing that I would always stress to my teammates is if we're at a party and something goes down, me telling her that, like, that gets us both in trouble. I was there too.
Yeah. Okay. True. So you're not going to be the snitch.
No. Because also they understand the relationship I have with my mom. And I think it's funny because they'll also say how I'm the only one on the team that will really, I'm not going to say snap back at my mom, but give her sass at practice. Because that's our relationship. And that's how we know we can like joke with each other and call each other out and all that kind of stuff. But I do think it's like, I have wondered how my teammates do that sometimes when like, we'll kind of just be like roasting each other. And then I wouldn't necessarily see any of my teammates do that back at her.
And your teammates are just like this.
Drama unfold.
Yeah, that would be really interesting just to see like that dynamic. I don't know. I mean, obviously it works.
Yeah. I mean, it's because like, I do think that with certain coaches, like they might not have as much room or like the ability to call their athletes out as much as my mom can with me, because I mean, she's actually my mom. So like, she has that room to be able to like, just say I guess, like, either motivating things or, like, just be fully, completely, like, honest with me. And I know that, like, that coach-athlete relationship can obviously happen. You build that trust, you build that relationship. But, like, when they're already your mom, so they're already close enough, like, they know, okay, I can say this thing and it might make her cry, but, like, we're going to talk it out. We're going to communicate about it, and our relationship will be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think anyone can really have that relationship that a mom daughter has, even if they, like, build their relationship with their coach, you know. It's just different. It's different.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's why, like, people ask me a lot, you know, what it's like to be coached by my mom. I'm like, I don't know any other way. So I can't really, like, say exactly what the differences are, other than, like, she knows exactly how to push me. She knows exactly what to say. She can give me that insight, and it can be coming from, I always know it's from her best interest, because that's my mom.
Yeah. So I mean, I was going to say, this doesn't make any sense because you do not live at home, but I was going to be like, so when you go home at night, like, do you guys just, like, talk about it? Or, like, if you go on vacation, do you, like, talk about, like, training and stuff? I mean, I guess kind of cool to have, like, your coach on hand.
That's true. I mean, I would go home every Sunday for family dinner, because it's only 20 minutes
away. Okay, cute.
That was nice. And I got to see my dog and my cat and my sister. So that's always fun. But yeah, I feel like it'd be like half and half. The half of the dinner conversation would be like, okay, we're just catching up, life stuff, talking about whatever. My dad has this movie list for each year of my life. He has like 5 or 6 movies, like around like 15 was like Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, you know, like all that stuff and all that. So we'll go back, watch a movie, talk, and then the other half will be talking about running, which my sister, because she is not a runner.
She's probably like, enough already, we've heard.
Literally. But she's starting to catch on, actually. She started asking me this week. She was like, so who's this professional runner, and what's this group, and what's this? And I was like, wow.
She's catching on. Well, she's probably gonna have to now that, yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens next.
Today's episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is a fitness wearable that provides 24/7 personalized insights around your sleep, recovery, and daily activity. Whether you're running your first 5K or your 10th marathon, Whoop can help you train smarter and recover faster so you get to the starting line healthy. You all already know that I love Whoop. I've been wearing it for months now, and I'm kind of obsessed with, like, data when it comes to running. So Whoop is completely focused on your body's recovery, and it's very different than your standard GPS watch. Every day gives you a personalized recovery score based on things like resting heart rate variability, sleep, respiratory rate, so you can monitor the changes in your fitness. I've talked a lot about in other episodes that the sleep coach has really helped me out personally, because I've really needed to work on my sleep. But I also love that the app has built-in features like the strain coach, so you can really see how hard you're training and pushing your body every day, and set goals based on your body's recovery. By listening to the underlying factors affecting your performance and just having that data there for you is really helpful. Whoop is offering 15% off with the code COLDBREW at checkout. Go to Whoop, that's WHOOP.com, enter code COLDBREW at checkout to save 15%. Sleep better, recover faster, and run faster. Get to the start line healthy with Whoop.
The main question I received, do you have any insight into what is next for you? Are you planning to go professional? Yeah.
I mean, yes, the plan is definitely to run professionally for as long as possible before I eventually become a therapist of some sort. And then other than that, right now it's just hanging out in Eugene for the next 2 weeks to train and race the trials, because I mean, that's also been a part of my big goals for this season. And yeah, we'll see what happens next.
You're gonna stay in the good old Uge for 3 weeks? That's a long time.
Hey.
Sheesh. Well, okay, so the trials are coming in so hot on Friday. Well, yeah, Friday. So it'll be, because this will go live on Thursday. So everyone listening, this is Thursday. So tomorrow, Ellie's gonna be racing the 5K at the trials. How are we feeling about it? What are the vibes?
I mean, I'm just feeling really good because I have like no expectations, if that makes sense. Like, I mean, I have expectations I've set for myself, obviously, you know, but it's kind of like I can go in and just get a really good experience here. And I mean, best case, like in my mind, my goal would be to final in that 5K, just really put myself in it and see what it is. But really, it's just like about getting that experience at this high level, because I mean, this is part of the highest level you know? So that's like being able to be there and race with people I've like looked up to that have inspired me, like all that kind of stuff. It's just going to be in Hayward Field, like all of it, fairy tale yeah. moments.
Especially right after winning NCAAs, like confidence probably at an all-time high. Just stepping in, oh, yeah. You're young, well, not, I guess, professional, but kind of almost going to be professional runner, about to debut in the professional scene. I mean, you probably have raced other professionals, so it'll probably be similar to other races, but it is a very big deal. So are you running the 5K and the 10K?
That's the plan as of right now. I think that if that 5K final happens, I might reassess 10K, but we'll see.
So what are the days? So Friday's the prelim of the 5K, and then what's mm-hmm. the schedule Monday, after that?
Monday would be the final. I have no idea when the 10K is. Good. I also didn't know that it was on Friday until 2 days ago. So I am lost, but I'm figuring it out.
That's the definition of one step at a time. Got to complete NCAAs before I even look at when the Olympic trials are.
Finished the 5K and was like, okay, awesome. Like, let's celebrate. And then someone was like, oh, your 5K is on Friday. And I was like, oh, I celebrated.
Yay! Yeah, wait, I was going to ask, did you like do anything fun after winning?
I mean, of course, but so my family actually surprised me with a little pizza and wine down in the lobby, which was nice because I didn't expect everyone. They were all down there, and I've been up on the phone actually with my boyfriend, and I was just like drawing the phone call out because I was like, oh, I could talk to him for an hour and a half. And then I go back downstairs and they'd all been waiting there for like 45 minutes. I felt so bad.
Oh,
oh, hey.
They're like, what took so long? You're like, nothing.
I'm just hanging out.
Oh, that's cute though.
That was fun because a lot of the family, also a lot of alumni, were able to be there. So that was really nice.
Man, you got the whole squad. I feel like NC State, you guys have like a great vibe, good culture. I keep saying vibe in this podcast. Yeah, I mean, well, so I went to Oregon. Like, I didn't really know that much about NC State because like we didn't race you guys that often. Yeah, but I feel like now, I honestly feel like I'm more tapped like into the running world now after college. I'm like, how does that even happen? But it just seems like you guys are like a really close knit group. And obviously like NC State's a very up and coming program. I mean, you guys are basically already there, but like, what was the culture like at NC State for you?
Oh, it's so cheesy, but it is a family. Like, and that's why, I mean, we've had the same coaches for Geiger. I mean, how long has Geiger been there? I don't want to guess the number because then I might offend him. But like, he's been there a long time. My mom's been there a long time. Like, so the program itself has stayed like the same, you know, for such a long time. So everyone that comes in and comes out of the program have the same coaches. They all know each other. It just creates that kind of vibe of a family. And like, so all the alumni that I grew up around and know, like anytime we're in the same city, anytime we're wherever, we're going to hang out. We're going to see each other. We're going to catch up because that's just how it is. And on the team now, like I can tell I'm going to be friends with these girls for such a long time. I'm always going to keep in touch with them. Like you share so many moments with them. I think a few of the girls, Savannah Shaw at one point did a little article thing about the culture of the team. So she shared how we do like a team camp every summer, like an altitude training camp and stuff. And we always have like a team goal setting meeting. And one thing I always go back to this about the goal setting meeting. And I wish we could go through one of those goal setting meetings without all crying, but it just always happens because we always go through like a high and a low kind of question of like, some, like what have you been struggling with this year? How can we help you? And then what has inspired you? Something that a teammate or friend or something has done in the last year that is like really just helped you like keep going in running or in life. And it always gets the waterworks always. But I do think that like part of that vulnerability and part of that, like we're going to open up, tell people what we're struggling with and then also how to help us and what's inspired us. Like it just, I think it just really like when you have that goal, like those high goals together and you know that you have each other's backs, like that's just, you know, so special.
That's like the beauty of running is because I feel like not only in those meetings, I mean, I think a lot of teams have meetings like that. Well, yeah. You see everyone at their absolute lowest point a lot of the time. And then you see people at their like peak highest point. So it's like, you get that and everything in between. So I think mm-hmm. that's just what makes like, I don't know if it's with other sports, because I haven't really played that many other sports, but it's really in endurance sports, like you just see it all. So I think that's just what makes people really close to each other. But it's also like, I mean, it's kind of hard to, when you have so many competitive people on a team, like fostering an environment that's competitive, and especially in like individual sport, like track and like cross country too, but it's hard to foster that competitive yet encouraging environment. And it seems like you guys have nailed it. And that's also probably like a big key to your guys' success. I mean, like personally, we won NCAAs in 2016 for cross country. Like, I wouldn't say we were the most like, I mean, we weren't the most talented team on, not on paper, but like our past results that season were not good. But I think it was just our team camaraderie that really like helped us win the race, even though that doesn't really have anything to do with like physical ability. I don't know. It just like the emotional part is so important.
Yeah. Like that's like exactly what you're saying, because I do think that, like we were saying earlier, like the mental side of the running, how much it pushes you, like you're out there like going hard and knowing that all of your teammates are doing the same thing for each other. Like there's something to that, that you just push harder when you know that that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, that was exactly what we all talked about after that 6K in 2016. Like we all knew that we were just going through the ringer, you know, but we weren't going to give up on each other. So it's very powerful. And like, I always recommend, I mean, there's only so much one person can do, but like, just try to bring your team together. Like if you're listening and you feel like you have team drama or team struggles, like try to do team bonding activities, because it really makes a difference at the end of the day. If you're trying to reach that like elite level, just knowing that your teammates have your back is so important. So.
Agreed. 100%.
Okay. Well, we had so many listener questions, so I just know it's going to take a little while. So I feel like I could talk to you all day though, because we barely got into anything, but.
I love the side rants. It makes me so happy.
I know, there's been a lot of side rants, so you usually can keep on track, but I guess not today. Okay. Here we go. What do you like to do outside of running?
Okay. This is one of those questions where every single time I'm like, I'm so lame, but I really like to be outside in general. Like, I don't necessarily know what that means, whether it's like taking a walk, going to the lake, like literally just sitting in a hammock outside and reading a book, something like that. I like being outside. I really like hanging out with my friends. And one of the things I do all the time is I will invite someone to a coffee shop. And whenever that happens, everyone on my team has told me this. They know that when I text them, hey, want to go get coffee? It means that they're going to be reserving 2 hours of their day. Because like you said, right now, the way that it just conversation just goes on every direction and then it'll come back. So I really like just doing that kind of stuff, like hanging out one-on-one with people. My roommates and I play Settlers of Catan every single night. We have a scoreboard. We have a slight obsession. But other than that, it's really just like, I really like good food. So we go out to restaurants a lot. I go out to coffee with my friends and just hang out with them. And then I like to be outside. So, you know, pretty straightforward, but that's what I like to do.
Okay. I have two side questions.
Okay.
For your answer. One, what is your coffee order?
Oh, I always get a vanilla cappuccino.
Oh, that's okay. Very nice. And then, I mean, this is based off of your answer too. Someone asked what, you say Catan, I say Catan. I don't know what the right word is.
I don't know what to say. I'll switch back and forth. Catan, Catan, you know, same dip.
Yeah, tomato, tomato. Okay. What is your Catan strategy? Just wondering. And I think it was one of your teammates that asked, but I'm also curious.
Get the secrets.
Yeah, they are.
Because I play my teammates all the time. Okay. My honest answer, my main strategy is to play whatever I have in my hand. If I have something, I play it. And I don't hold back, because when that robber comes and you have to cut your deck, doesn't matter what your plan was. It can all be over in a matter of seconds.
That's true. I don't like to hold more than 7 cards in my hand. Well, no one does, but I mean, it gives me anxiety when I have like, when I have like 6 cards, I'm like, no, you know,
yeah, gotta play something, you know, but
I'm a longest roads in like, what's the other one?
The army.
Army. Wow. I haven't played in a little while. I'm really rusty. I played like every day last summer and I'm so rusty. I need to go back to my friends in Portland to play again so I can be up to date.
This phone is being rested on my Catan board right now.
Oh my gosh. I wish I was in Eugene. We could play around, but
be awesome.
Yeah, I'm a longest road, largest army kind of gal. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like if you have that, you kind of like get the bag. But then everyone kind of caught onto my strategy. Like when I first started playing, I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't know what I'm doing. And I would always like pull that card, but then everyone caught on, and then now I'm mediocre again. But anyways.
Okay, I do have a strategy. I just thought about it.
Okay.
I go for nines and fives because everyone else goes for sixes and eights. But okay. Nines and fives are so much more. And that's just proven.
Okay. Everyone listening, nines and fives. Put your little thing on there. Put your little house on there. Everyone that's never played the game is like, shut up. We don't care. Play your stupid little board game. Okay. Nikki Hiltz asked, does she want to train with me in San Diego?
Oh my gosh. Let me know. Hit me up.
Okay.
But that changes the game. So actually, hit me up before Friday.
Oh, Nikki, if you're listening, hit her up. What keeps you motivated to run, or just in general?
What keeps me motivated?
Yeah.
I don't know if this makes sense, but trying to prove myself wrong. Does that make sense?
Trying to prove yourself wrong?
Like, any doubts that I have, any things like that. Like, if I hear, like, a time or a place or something like that, that I'm like, oh my gosh, that's, like, impossible. Then I think my motivation running-wise would be, like, well, I want to prove myself wrong. And then in life, it's like, well, I feel like I can't do that, or I feel like that's something that's really scary. But then I like to be like, well, I want to like accomplish that so that, you know, I can prove myself wrong. That and the fact that I just like to connect with people.
Yeah. That's a champion's mindset right there in all aspects of life. What's your most embarrassing running story?
I have a few options for this one. So I got to choose the right one. Because I want to choose what I want people to know about me. Because I know if I tell one of these stories that I'm going to be known as that girl.
Yeah, maybe don't do something that is like that embarrassing, but do something that's more like PG rated. I don't know.
PG rated. In high school, we were running an indoor 4x8. And I was the anchor. And I wasn't counting the laps correctly. And I did an extra fifth lap. And this was like, I think it was our like one chance at like qualifying for like indoor nationals or something like that. I don't remember. There was some type of weight on it. And I ran that extra lap and all my teammates were yelling at me to stop, but I didn't know what they were saying. So I just kept going.
But did you get the time? Because you already went through the lap, right?
I have such bad memory. I think if something happened to me like 5 days ago, I'd forget it. I just remember that story because they kept bringing it up for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I remember that is kind of embarrassing.
4x8 and you ran the 4x1.
It's like, oops. How do you, it's like, it's not even that long. It's like 2.5 minutes.
I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm just out here.
Champions do extra, guys. You heard it your first. Turn your 800 into 1Ks and then you'll win NCAAs. That's what happens.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so what did you eat before your 5K?
Well, let's see, what did I have for breakfast? I had half of a banana nut Trader Joe's muffin, because those things are so good and I love muffins. And then I had let's see. I had half of a sandwich that it was like some turkey pesto sandwich, and then half of a mozzarella and pesto and arugula sandwich, because that sounded really good. And then I had a dark chocolate peanut butter cup from Trader Joe's right before I went to the line.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Is that your little secret trick?
No, I was just craving it.
Okay. Gotta listen to VOD.
Some sugar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What do you get at Burger King, and how can that possibly be your favorite food? Fast food.
Their breakfast is what did it for me. Burger King breakfast they have these cinny minis. So like they're little mini cinnamon rolls that you dip in this packet of icing. And I swear it is the best thing ever. Mm. They're so good. So breakfast wise, great. And then anything else would be the Whopper Jr. because it's just classic. And I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that. I know the Burger King is not that well liked, but it's just, I grew up across from a Burger King and I would walk there on the weekends and just like sit there and yeah. Like I think I'd read a book or something like in Burger King and just, yeah, that was my vibe.
Yeah. It's just like a little bit, you just like flashback. You're like, oh, this is like my childhood right now, eating your Junior Whopper. I don't know if I've ever had Burger King. Maybe once.
You know, I want to tell you right now, like, yeah, you got to go try it. Like, so good. But I don't even think I can, like, I don't think that I can do that.
I'm going to go hit the town right now. It's 10:14 p.m. I'm going to go hit the town, and I'm going to go straight to Burger King and get the Cinny Minis.
Well, I don't know if you can get their breakfast.
Shoot! Okay, I'm going to have to wait till the morning.
That's what you do. You wake up, first thing, crave Burger King, obviously.
Yep, actually that happened to me this morning. Weird. Okay. Favorite Trader Joe's product, and who can you thank for showing it to you?
Oh no. See, that's floated. I'm gonna go with because I'm trying to think of who asked this question, because it could be two people.
This has happened to me before.
Because it could either be the dark chocolate peanut butter cups, which I did say I just, you know, I did eat that, and I guess that would be my roommates, Hannah and Savannah, or I could say Scandinavian Swimmers, and that would be Jessa Hansen from the NAU women's team. So either way, those are my top two, and I give all credit to those girls for showing it to me, because I didn't like Trader Joe's until a few months ago.
No one be mad at Ellie, okay? She didn't know I was going to ask the question. how would you define success in running?
You know, I think we kind of touched on that earlier when I said like finding the balance between being being determined and finding that success when it comes to like being happy with your training and being driven with your training and racing, and then also finding that happiness inside and outside of running. Because I do think that sometimes you can get a little bit caught up in. There was a point in time where I noticed my worth was being a bit too tied up into running, and I did have to kind of take that step back and be like, this isn't my life, you know, and this isn't everything. It's something that I'm very passionate about and I love, and I'm going to put all this effort and time and energy and tears and all that stuff into, because it's that passion. But I think you're successful when you've found that balance of being driven, hardworking, and you know, seeing your improvements, whatever that looks like to you, and being happy and finding the joy in it and just like loving what you do, you know?
Be a motivational speaker. You're motivating me. I'm about to get in the starting line tomorrow, right after my Burger King. That's really sarcastic, but that actually was a really good answer. I need to stop. I'm like, I'm going to offend people.
There's no offense here at all.
Okay. Is Elise mad that you had to outdo him once again?
Oh no. No, he's the most supportive boyfriend. The second that I picked up the phone, well, or I called him actually. He didn't even call me. I called
him. Wow.
No, that sounded salty. That wasn't salty. But I called him and he picked up and he was just smiling ear to ear. He is the most supportive guy like ever. And just the fact that I mean, obviously, you know, he's going to walk away and want more from himself always. I think as like high level runners, we always want more from ourselves no matter what. And I obviously want more for him too, but no, he was so happy, so supportive. And I did make that joke obviously to him because we can joke about these things, but you know, we have that ongoing rivalry of, each season who can do better. And he's been kicking my ass a bit too much recently. So had to
real quick. Okay. someone from the women's NAU team asked to, like, what was your journey with him? Or like, like your story with him.
Oh, like how we met? Or
yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I like this story. This is a fun story. So technically, we first met in an 18 and up club after indoor nationals. But very briefly, literally hi and bye. We took a picture together, actually. He asked me for a picture with him. So
that was cute.
It's a cute picture to have now. Like, we have like, it's that cute little, like, oh, we met, but never, you know. So we didn't speak then after that until my team and I went out to Flagstaff for a training trip. And so obviously they were out there and he saw me on a run. He was like, oh, that's that girl that I saw, whatever. And messaged me, and our team started like hanging out, going on runs together. Like, we had a game day at one point. So we were just hanging out together. And with like a week left in the trip, he asked me out on a date. And so I went with him and we ended up hitting it off so that we went on a date every day for the rest of that week, because I only had a week left. So I flew back home kind of a little bit sad, because I was like, okay, I really hit it off with this guy, I really liked him. But we kind of had that discussion at the end, like, okay, we're going to be in different places. Starting long distance after only knowing each other for a week would kind of be crazy. So we went our separate ways, I guess. And then a few days later, he calls me and he's like, oh, well, we just got all of that, you know, like the money you get for staying for regionals, nationals, that kind of stuff. He's like, we just got all of that money. And I'm coming to Raleigh. So do I have a place to stay? And I was like, you're kidding. Like, I thought I was being punked. But I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, you have a place to stay, like, come to Raleigh. And he brought a few of his friends and they called it his quest for love, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, that's cute.
And yeah, so we hung out for that next week in Raleigh and I just showed him around Raleigh. We went to the beach, went to these different places, like, and just had a great time. And at the end of it, he asked me out. So we've made long distance work for quite a while now.
The rest is history. That is really cute, though. That's like every runner's dream. I just know people listening are probably like, oh, I want that to happen to me.
It was very cute. He's a great guy.
Adorable. Power couple right there. Okay, next question. Are space buns the secret to success?
Absolutely.
I had some people saying that they wore space buns after you and that they've done really well because of them.
I mean, I've only worn them twice now, but that was ACCs and nationals, and both of them went well. So I think I have no other option than to just start trademarking it at this point, you know.
They're honestly great, like, hairdo. Like, I've been wearing them to work out in, like, run in, and they're great.
They're sturdy.
You know? Yeah, you just gotta like secure them in there and like nothing falls out. It's like more stylish than a ponytail, you know? Yeah. It works.
I think it's the new thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I have two questions left. Have you gone through any struggles at all, like injury, anything, or have you had a pretty smooth running career?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when it comes to like struggles, I think that, well, because all struggles look different and that kind of stuff, but I'd say more physical, like mine were more mental than physical. Physically, I've always been, and this is something I could give for, I guess, some type of advice too, but I've always been kind of dramatic when it comes to pain. And that's honestly because the only advice I got before college was like, don't get injured. And I was like, well, that sounds so simple, but like, I think that when I say like dramatic, I mean, like if something starts hurting me at all, I tell my mom, okay, I'd rather take 4 days than 4 months. So I'm just going to take a few days off. And that's some of the times where we have gotten into not an argument, but kind of like she's on pushing back on me. She's like, well, you're fine, you're training. And I'm like, but I can tell in my body, this doesn't feel right. So I'm not going to train through it. And honestly, that happened before ACC is my sophomore year. I was feeling some foot pain, and I'd had a stress reaction in my foot in high school. And I was having that similar foot pain before ACC is my sophomore year, which was in Florida. And so I took the whole week off beforehand and cross trained. And then the day of the race, I told her, I was like, okay, I feel no pain. And she was like, well, but we just held you out for a week. And I was like, I don't care. And we moved on from there. But so I think when it comes to physical stuff, I've been really, really careful, and I've been really lucky too. I mean, to not have any of those major injuries since high school. Like I was in a boot in high school, but other than that, thankfully it's just been inflammatory stuff. One thing that was really hard for me was my junior year indoors, going into indoors. I'd gotten kind of sick that season, and I'm dramatic when it comes to pain, but not sickness. So I decided to race on the same day I woke up with a really sore throat, and ended up, I was sick for 3 months after racing on that. My white blood cell count was through the roof for 3 months. We still don't know exactly what happened, but I went into indoors. I think at that point, the 5K that I had ran might've been ranked third even, I don't know, but either way, I got last and lapped in both races. And mentally and physically, that was hard for me, because I walked away from the race and I was like, what's wrong? Because I knew that something was wrong, but I didn't want to accept that it was sickness. I didn't want to accept that my shin had been inflamed for weeks. I completely internalized it. And I was like, this is something's wrong. And I kept trying to race through that. And I kept, the same thing would happen. I'd get to the last two laps, all of a sudden something would happen. I'd drop back, everyone would pass me. Mentally, it would keep crushing me. So my mom kind of took me away from the season. And when she did that, I was crushed in the moment, and I understand why she did now, because I think if I just kept going at it and kept disappointing myself, that would have solidified it even further. But after that, I was able to start building back up again, starting to get my confidence back right before COVID, and that all that stuff kind of hit the fan. So right then was when I was getting my confidence back, but we also have been talking about the Olympic trials for so long. And 15-20 had become this time in my mind that I was like, if I had put so much pressure on myself that I thought if I don't hit this time, I'm not good at running. Now, where I got that from, no idea.
Like, if you don't run 15-20, you suck.
Like, I just suck. Like, there's no point to this. And I don't even know how that necessarily, I don't, that, cause no one ever said that to me. No one ever acted that way to me. Even my mom, she never would even like kind of say that stuff to me. So I just made it out of my own self-doubt, my own self-criticism, my own self-sabotage. And I guess if anything, I would say the biggest struggle I've gone through in college is self-sabotage or self-doubt. And even me freaking out the day of nationals, not freaking out, but stressing out the day of nationals, was that self-doubt, that self-sabotage. And I kept having to tell myself, like, as long as you don't hold yourself back, you're going to be fine. You know? So a lot of those thoughts going into like the 15-20 stuff and going into, okay, I'm having bad races because internally there's something wrong with me, not, oh, I'm sick and I've been sick for 3 months. I think a lot of that mental side had to be worked on in order for a lot of the things that I accomplished this year to even happen, because I don't think that they would have if I hadn't first conquered the mental side of running. I just don't think that it would have been able to come together the way that it did if I hadn't first gone through all of those things.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I just posted a video on, like, I guess the mental side of training and like how you have to be so on to be able to showcase like your fitness level to the level that you want to like perform. Like, your mental headspace just has to be there, you know. Yeah. You can't be slacking, you have to work on it before you can physically see the results. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really resonate with that. I'm sure a lot of other people do. But do you have anything like what would you say to yourself? What would you say to yourself if you were like doubting yourself? You're like, I suck at running. Like, what would you say? Or like, how would you kind of combat these thoughts?
One thing that I learned, so I've been seeing sports psychologists since, honestly, I think since my junior or senior year of high school, honestly. And, one of my most recent sports psychs that worked with NC State, she kind of told me this when it came to my like anxiety overarching. She said, well, your anxiety and all this stuff comes from you creating these thoughts that aren't real. So if you can start debunking these thoughts, if you can start proving to yourself these thoughts are not real and I'm creating them inside my own head, then yeah, they become a lot more manageable. So that's what I've kind of done with the self-sabotage, where like I said, on race day, I was like, well, I'm only going to fall back, get lapped, have that same thing at nationals happen again if I allow that to happen. Because I'm like, you are so much in control, more in control than you think you are. And it takes like having some of those, like either writing it down. I journal a lot too. So I think a lot of journaling with that helped for me this season, where I was like, okay, this is something that is achievable. I have put in this work and I have A, B, and C as a reason why I can trust myself to be able to accomplish this. So like, sometimes it just takes backing up thoughts that have no basis with facts, you know? So I guess that's my advice, and what I've done is try to combat those thoughts with facts.
I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, personally, I'm just curious. Like, that wasn't a question I had written down. I just wanted to know, because I am like a queen of self-sabotage. If I had to nominate a first place winner, it's me. So I'm like, I don't know. I admire your mindset, because I know it takes, I just know how hard it is to, you know, when you're dealing with these things, to come out of it. And obviously, like, you've been really successful in winning NCAAs is no easy feat mentally or physically. So I'm very impressed. I feel like I could talk to you for literal like hours. So
if you ever do want to get some cold brew, some vanilla cappuccinos, let me know.
Yeah, we'll do. I mean, I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point. So we definitely will. We can sit down for 2 hours. I'll block 2 hours out of my day.
Let me know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I actually have one more question. Okay. Do you have any advice for your younger self?
Sorry.
If you don't, we can cut it out.
Into my head that I know I can't say, but I have to censor myself. I guess that the people that I think what I would say to my younger self is, the people that care the most about me are not going to walk out of my life if I just genuinely be myself. That's what I'd say.
That's a good answer.
Was that if you just be your authentic self, not everyone's going to love it, but that's okay. People that love you will.
I love that. And that, I mean, that can be applied to all areas of life, not just running. I mean, that isn't really a running focus question. So I like how you answered it, that it wasn't running focused, because I don't know, it's just good to be yourself in all areas of life. So I'm a firm believer in that. I love this episode personally. I hope other people did too, even though we had very much rambling rants, but it was very fun. And I know a lot of people probably loved it, because I liked getting to know you. I'm sure a lot of other people did too. But where can people find you at? Where can they follow you? Follow your results for the trials and stuff?
I mean, I don't know about the results for the trials and stuff.
Where are you gonna be posting about whatever you're doing next?
So my Twitter got hacked. I don't have a Twitter anymore, so I can't plug that one. But @_EllieFan_ for Instagram and for TikTok, if you like that kind of stuff. I just started posting. I'm not sure how active I'm gonna be on there, but we're gonna test those waters.
People are saying a bunch of things about your TikTok. I was like, I'm gonna have to go find it. So I found it, and it's actually pretty good. You have some good content on there. TikTok queen. Okay.
You know.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Commas Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. Ellie and I, we got off the call and I was like, I seriously can talk to you for about 2 more hours, so we need to cut this off right now. It was a really easy flowing conversation. I hope you guys thought the same, because I really enjoyed talking to her, and I will definitely be rooting for her tomorrow at the trials, so I hope you guys do too. And if you guys already don't follow our podcast Instagram, that's where you can ask listener questions. It's just @ConversOverColdBrewPod. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, like I said at the beginning of the episode.
And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.